Welcome to the new Eight in the Box podcast, where we talk football, specifically college football. This is presented by Cash Considerations. I am Dave Sharapan, the sportsbook consigliere at SportsBK Consig. And my co-host is Brad Howell. He is at Brad Howell 07. B. Howell's the quarterback. Am I a diva wide receiver? I don't know. I can catch the ball, but I don't want to be the diva. But B. Howell, what's up, man? How are you?
We're good. I can't wait. First week of real full slate this week. We had a fun time last week with week zero, but now we go. Now there's just games on top of games on top of games. So we're going to get to as many as we can. We're going to keep it tight. We're going to bang information. We're going to give us line information for your expertise. And we go. Let's roll.
This sounds like a two-minute drill. Like, we're going to kind of keep it moving, keep the play clock running, and keep the defense on their toes. So for all the listeners, this is you know, what we're going to do all season. And this is our week one kickoff show. And listen, we're lining up. We're back in our own, you know, in the shadow of our own goalpost, ready to drive this thing all the way down the field. I'm throwing it to you, sir. Let's go.
We are. We're ready to go. Real quick background. First of all, I do broadcasting, right? I do a show each night. We do a couple podcasts together. I spent 20 years in college athletics administration at West Virginia, at Maryland, at UConn. So that's where my college sports love comes from. You, of course, spent 20 some years in the sports book, sometimes parts unknown, most of the time in Las Vegas doing numbers. So that's how we'll come at this. I'll try and give you some information, what I see from a football perspective. And then I want to throw it to you for some line information. Where's the movement? Where's the action coming in? And we'll try and land on a consensus for each game each week.
This is what we do now. We did all that stuff, and now we talk. In fact, we talk football. Let's go.
Let's start here. I'm jacked about this game. LSU at UCLA. We've got LSU as the 3.5, 4-point favorite. You'll give us updated line information. I'm fascinated from this game from this standpoint. We just saw UCLA look really good in their week zero opener against an overmatched Hawaii team. People think this might be Chip Kelly's best team at UCLA. They certainly showed that in week one. Ran the ball effectively. DTR, their returning quarterback, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, was very, very good. Here comes LSU under a tough set of circumstances. We know what's going on weather-wise down in Louisiana, certainly thinking about all the folks in that state. LSU had to get out a little bit early, went to Houston, and then traveled on to LA, or will travel on to LA from there. Sometimes that's a distraction, Dave. Sometimes that throws a team off its schedule. We know football coaches and programs like their routine. This is certainly out of the routine. But other times we've seen that bring teams together. So here we've got a talented LSU team looking to bounce back from a subpar year last year on the heels of their historic national championship in 2019, going on the road, getting a UCLA team that's already played a game that's very popular based on how they look. Initial reaction before I give you any numbers, LSU, UCLA, what are you seeing?
So for years, I've heard this in the book, and I think it's a popular misconception, is that the team that played a game has an edge over the team that hasn't. Sometimes the team that hasn't is just better. and that's what the line is telling us, right? Like, the line now is LSU is -3, but this opened a little bit higher. And, you know, we're recording this midweek. This thing is going in the direction where the UCLA money is coming in. Now, you know, they did play the game. They looked great. They looked great against Hawaii. They ran up and down the field like there was no resistance, which truthfully there really wasn't much. But I don't know, B. Howell, like this LSU team, a little bit of a chip on their shoulder after last season, coming off that, you know, the big season, the season before. I don't know. Like, I don't think it's this easy. Like, I don't think UCLA just runs out there and wins this game. What did you see anything that out to you?
Let me give you this. I think you make a great point there about the misconception that a team that has already played versus one that hasn't has the advantage. Let me give you an actual number here from Brad Powers. Brad Powers 7 on Twitter does a great job handicapping college football in particular. He put a stat out earlier. Since 2000, teams that have a game under their belt playing against a team in their season opener. The team that has a game under their belt, just 74, 87, and 2 against the number. So sub 50% for that team that is already playing. I think you're looking at an LSU team here. They returned 9 guys on defense off a unit that absolutely got shredded last year under Bo Pelini. That's why Pelini has moved on. New defensive coordinator in there. I think I'm inclined, Dave. I know you're going to tell me we're going to go through this every game that I bring up. I kind of like LSU here. You're going to tell me not to lay 3 on the road. I know what you're going to say, but I kind of like LSU here.
I think I'm siding with you in this. This feels like I don't know where the bottom's going to be. I thought 3 would be the bottom, and we're already there, and it's midweek. So I know once it gets a little bit lower that, you know, some probably big syndicates, big bad guys are going to come on LSU. I think that's the right side right now. Now, you know, you have to follow us on Twitter, and we'll keep an eye on this as the week progresses. But B-How, my first impression is with you. We're laying it. I think we get LSU at a number. How many times are you going to get LSU minus less than, you know, 3 or less? It looks like the play. But again, we got to wait and see by the end of the week.
Real quick, already out of the gate, we already have a delay of game. We've gone through the play clock in game one, but real quick, let me give you this. You got 30 seconds to answer this. Can I interest you in an under at all? I know we've lost some points off of this. We see a Chip Kelly offense that ran it nearly 70% of the time last year. Out of the gate week one, they did as well. 68% of the time they ran it against Hawaii. Some of that was, I know they were blowing them out. You got LSU in that first game with a new offensive coordinator, a quarterback that has played some but not a lot. That's a high point total. We're still in the mid-60s there. Do we lean under here early, or did we already miss the number?
We didn't miss the number, I don't think, because it started really high. But I think I get so nervous with the Pac-12 teams playing the unders because these games just – crazy stuff happens Pac-12 after dark and late. I've seen it now. Sometimes I know what I don't know, and that's the best way to go about these things. I think I'm leaning under, yes, but is it worthy of a play? I'm not sure yet. I got to learn a little bit more about the LSU defense that, like you said, was shredded last year. Yeah. Didn't look like the usual LSU defense. There was a lot of big numbers put up against them. If UCLA is right, this is going to be one of those score, you know, first team to 40 wins, and it goes over the total.
Okay, so we'll stay away from that right now. We're going to lean LSU early. Keep an eye on our Twitter handles. As we mentioned, Dave's at SportsBKConsig. I'm at BradHow07. We'll keep that updated as the week goes on, and we'll land on what our plays are. All right, let's go to another one. Let's hit the Big Ten. I've got a bunch of Big Ten here to ask you about. Penn State at Wisconsin. This one's fascinating as well. Hmm. Wisconsin, a lot of people love Wisconsin coming out of that West Division of the Big Ten. Graham Mertz returns at quarterback. We saw him have a near-perfect performance in his debut last year. Injuries, problems came up on the health front. He had to sit. They were never right. There's a lot of people, Dave, that think Wisconsin defensively might have a top 3 unit here in the Big Ten. So a lot of love for Wisconsin. You know what they're going to do. They want to run it. The offensive line is going to be good. But Mertz can throw it a little bit too. They get Penn State coming off a year in which they need to bounce back. Another new offensive coordinator for Penn State. But here's something to keep in mind. We're getting some road teams versus home teams now that last year didn't matter a whole lot, playing in empty stadiums. Mm-hmm. It was a different environment. Now you get Penn State on the road at one of the tougher places to play. Camp Randall, they're going to be doing the jump around song and going bonkers in that one. The number, we talked about this game on another show we do earlier in the week. It was 4.5 Wisconsin. That has already moved another point, minus 5.5 for Wisconsin here. Are we trending now into Penn State territory? You like the home favorite?
They played this twice. I mean, the initial number was 3.5. It went to 4.5. It's 5.5 now. I am be very surprised if it gets a 7. I know that will be the peak. I'm liking Penn State to keep it close. I really think that Penn State can win the game. So I'm always in favor of taking the points when I think the dog is live to win the game, which I think they are. Now, the question here, I mean, like their season wins are almost the same number. Wisconsin's 9.5, Penn State's 9. This is going to have a big impact going forward for both teams with whomever wins. But also, you don't see these conference games to start a season. this is a first for a lot of things. Usually there's a couple ramp up games, you know, where we kind of just get things warmed up and positions settled and can work out the kinks. It's going to be a very, I think, defensive game, which again would lead me to take the points, but I'm thinking under here as well with both defenses, especially with Wisconsin's preseason talk of them having that top defense. So that's where it looks like to me right now. Again, I'll be surprised if this keeps going up. We may have settled around 5.5. This may be the number closer to kick, but 7's the top. If it gets to 7, it's an auto play for me from Penn State.
Okay, got it. Let's stay in the Big Ten because you're right. That's a league that's opening with these conference matchups, which is great, giving us some fun games here in week one. Yeah. Here's one for you. Another fascinating look at a team that's expected to challenge for a college football playoff spot in Ohio State on the road at Minnesota. Here we go again. I like a road favorite. Dave, you got to talk me out of a road favorite. Actually, I don't want you to talk me out of a road favorite. I've already played this. I went ahead and took Ohio State. I got it at 13.5. They're on the road to Minnesota. The more I'm diving in, I'm starting to get a little antsy with my pick. But listen, Ohio State is absolutely loaded. The only question that exists for them is at quarterback with C.J. Stroud. Extremely talented, high-level recruit, as you would expect, coming out of Ohio State, but hasn't played yet. Now, he's got a wide receiver room that may be as good as any in the country. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to ask Stroud to win you the game. You're going to ask him to get the ball to your receivers and see what you can do there. Minnesota on the other side, they're going to be an interesting team. Really good in 2019. Struggled a bit last year, but what does that mean? We don't know what the 2020 season means as we push forward. Tanner Morgan back at quarterback. Mo Abraham at running back, very good. The offensive line returns for Minnesota. There's a lot of pieces there for the Golden Gophers at home, getting Ohio State to open the season. Again, I have personally already laid the 13.5. Did I make a mistake?
I don't think you made a mistake. You got the better number. Now, whether it gets there, I don't know. I'm getting a lot of texts from people that are in the know that, you know, Minnesota is going to be a play for a lot of people that, you know, win more than they lose. Again, take that for what it's worth. I always say, you know, nobody knows Squadouche. So we'll see about, you know, that. Ohio State's so good. They're so deep. And, you know, Justin Fields is did they just replace him? I guess so. I mean, this kid's coming in highly touted. I don't know. Sometimes the number's just right. And like 14 feels right for this because, I mean, I looked, Minnesota's season win total is 7. Obviously, Ohio State's 11. I mean, they can run the table, but, you know, they'll always trip up. They'll probably lose one game. Is it this one? I don't think Ohio State's losing this game. So, again, you know, I always say don't do college football teasers, but, you know, this, if you have to, this might be a candidate for that. I would lay it before I take it, but I think the number sometimes gives me pause where I go, you know what? I'll maybe watch this one and try to learn something to see, you know, whether we're going to row the boat with Minnesota again later and maybe just sit this one out at least initially.
It's a good point on trying to learn something. I mentioned that Minnesota offensive line returns intact, but man, you've got that Ohio State defense and that defensive line in particular, one of just 7 teams last year to allow less than 100 yards rushing. So Minnesota's strength, I know Morgan can make some plays, but they're going to have to run the football. I don't know that they can against Ohio State. That's a key matchup to watch. All right, yep. We're on there. All right, let's stay in the Big Ten. I got another big, we're a heavy Big Ten show today. We're going to stay in the Big Ten. I got another one. All right, how about this one? Indiana visits Iowa City to take on the Iowa Hawkeyes. Sitting around Hawks favored 3.5. I'm really interested in the total on the board, 45, the lowest of the week. So we're going to talk about both of these. Mm. We know what Indiana's done the last couple of years. One of the most elite dynamic quarterbacks in the country, and Michael Penix Jr. He's coming back from an ACL surgery. How does he look in his return? This Iowa defense was stout last year, should be really stout again. What does Indiana, what can they get going at Kinnick Stadium in front of a raucous Iowa crowd against that really good Iowa defense? The reason the number, the 45, looks interesting to me, Dave, the questions for the Hawks are on offense at quarterback. Spencer Petras returns, but he really struggled last year. The wide receiver room in Iowa City is not deep, and they lost 2 guys. You know, the line is going to be good. It always is under Kirk Ferentz. But what do we do here with the total? I know that's a low number, but you're looking at two pretty good defenses here. Indiana should be better than they were last year. They were a turnover machine in terms of forcing turnovers last year, more than two a game. Does that continue? Does that regress to the middle? Can we play an under 45 here?
I think so, but then this turnover thing, you just put it in my, like, one scoop and score, one, you know, deflected pass or fumble, you know, leaving somebody a short field, and all of a sudden that under that was looking so good may come down to a missed extra point like it did at week zero with Nebraska and Illinois. The Big Ten has these types of games, and Iowa is known for these types of games. For the side, it's dog for me. It's Indiana. This feels like a field goal game where, you know, strange things are going to happen. I mean, the expectations for both teams are pretty high, despite, like, the season win total for Indiana, 7.5. And for Iowa, it's 8.5. So very close, reflected in the line. It's 3.5. I think, yes, under. I don't want to play this over. You never want to play Iowa games over in Iowa early in the season. And then especially it gets later and colder and everything else that goes on in Iowa. You see, like, I remember a Penn State game. I think it was 5-2 was the final score not that long ago. So it's weird things happen. As long as we check the weather there and we don't have some anomaly, either, you know, some hard rainstorm or a big windy day or something, I think under is definitely the side for that in that game.
Okay. I think it is too. Just FYI, to throw a number on you, Iowa went over this number in 4 of 8 games last year, which surprised me a little bit. Over this 45 number, one of them was just by 1 point, though. They barely squeaked over. That's what this one feels to me. This feels like defense here in Indiana, Iowa. Okay, let's go to Alabama.
You know, wait, before you move on, when they go over by 1 point or 20 points, do they cash differently?
No.
No,
but it's
no.
Close. But it's close.
You like it's the sweat. Close. I just need to know, is it over? Yes. I don't care how many points they went over by.
Says the book guy that just wants me to cash my ticket and get out of the way for the next
move on. That's it. We got
to
take another bet.
I want to analyze the thing. You just want me to move on and keep it moving. That's I get it. I understand. Fine. I'll keep it moving. Alabama, Miami. All right. What do we do here? There is – you got no chance. I know you want me to take the dogs and take points. Mm-mm. How do I go against Nick Saban, who does not lose these games? He's 9-0 in neutral field games. He's covered 8 of them. I know they're replacing everybody. I mean, they're replacing, I think, like the top 9 Heisman guys from last year. I get it. I get it. I get De'Arik King. I won't be stunned if Saban and Alabama rolls and they back off the gas, and here comes Miami late with a backdoor on us. That's a lot of points to be giving Miami. But, Dave, how do I go against Alabama here in Nick Saban?
I can't make a case. I can't. I mean, normally I would try. I'd be like, yeah, you know, Miami, blah, blah, blah. No, this is favored or pass. And again, interestingly, like, look at the total, right? We got a total of 61.5 in a game. They're favored by 19 in a game. I'm telling you what, I've told our guy Sean this. Alabama first half is a just cash cow. I mean,
juggernaut last year.
That's
juggernaut
last right. Year. They're going 9-3 or better every season, like in the first half. 9-3 or better. That's a pretty good ratio if you just bet that. That may be the way to attack this one, even in the first game, because, you know, he's had too much time to prepare for this. He's replacing All Americans with other All Americans. They're so deep. I can't make a case. There will be a time this season where we will make a case to go against Alabama. It's not this first game. It's not happening. 19.5 is a big number, but as long as it's under 21, I think we're okay.
All right. So we're doing, that's a lot, man. I am just out here eating chalk. I'm eating big numbers on chalk on the debut episode here of this one. All right. The other big game, probably the game of the weekend. Let's talk a little Georgia Clemson here. Oof. I'm going back and forth on this one as well. There's a lot to like on both of these teams. We know Clemson loses Trevor Lawrence, but they get, and I've been working on it all morning. I'm sorry, Clemson fans. I'm still going to mess it up, but I should get points for trying. Let's try it, Dave. DJ Uiagalelei at quarterback.
You nailed DJ it. Uiagalelei
at quarterback.
That's it.
Close.
I was practicing last night as well. Uiagalelei. You nailed it. That was perfect. What a pro. That was awesome.
All right, good. We're off to a start. We saw him last year drop 4 Bills plus on that Notre Dame defense. Ooh. That was really good on the road in South Bend. So I'm not even sure, as weird as that is to say, we can discount Trevor Lawrence being gone a lot. I think they're going to perform. Justin Ross returns at wide receiver for Clemson. They did not have him last year after that spinal injury. Fortunately for him, not career ending. He's back. 10 starters back on defense for Brett Venables, including that really good secondary. So we know what Clemson gives you, right? Now go to the other side. Is this the year for Kirby in Georgia? I mean, you're stacking recruiting classes on top of them. We keep hearing Georgia's ready to go. Georgia's ready to win a national title. Are they ready to win a title? JT Daniels looked good in a small sample size. They've got a loaded defense, albeit a young secondary. Where are we? 3.5 Clemson favored. Do we take the points here?
Oh man, this is so hard. I you can make a case for both sides on so many different levels. I mean, I always go with this when I can't decide like this. Until proven otherwise. I had a guy in the book that used to say it all the time. And that meant ride with what you know until the other team does, you know, prove you otherwise. So Georgia's been so close. This may be the one they get over the hump, but I don't want to bet on that. Will they do it? I know what I'm getting with Clemson, and I think I know what he's bringing to the table. So I would lay it again before I take it, but this might be an in-game betting dream. This might be one of those. Yeah, this might be.
What are we looking for there?
I don't think you even need to take a position, you know, pregame on this. I think you can kind of sit and watch, and we've done this now over the phone. We haven't done it in person yet together, which, by the way, will be its own show at some point. But wait for the kickoff, see who gets the opening kickoff, and watch the line kind of adjust and see if you see anything, you know, and you've done this with me with basketball. I mean, it's amazing what you can see if you know the game. So you can see the line play kind of early and see who's maybe going to be able to impose their will and get them at a cheaper number. And all, I mean, like, you know, a tried and true way to play in game is a lot of times the team that you don't think is going to win gets a lead 3-0, 7-0, whatever. You get a more advantageous line on the team you want. You don't have to hesitate because you're down. Football game's 60 minutes. You're going to probably be down at one point. They don't all go wire to wire. So I think this would be one that I'd be watching and waiting to see something and then maybe make a play. Pregame, again, it's a little more than a coin flip. I think I would take Clemson, but this is one I definitely want to watch and go, okay, maybe you get a quick score early and a number shoots up and you go under. But first off, for me, Bihau is over. You know I'm an under guy, but I'm looking at this going, both these kids, I mean, they may get it going early and then this gets on an over pace quick. So I'm leaning over.
Interesting stat to keep in mind there if you're going to look in game. I think that's really good advice on a game like this when we can make the argument for either side. Keep this in mind. JT Daniels, 14th nationally, or Georgia's team, 14th nationally last year in deep pass play percentage. So a little bit of a change in philosophy last year for Kirby. They're going to let Daniels try and hit deep and go deep. So that could play either way, right? If you throw deep a couple times, they go incomplete. Now maybe the under's there or that number starts to drop a little bit. If they hit a big play early, as you're mentioning, and you think you like Clemson, that might be how Georgia gets up early and suddenly that Clemson number becomes early. So that Georgia's going to take its shots downfield, certainly in this game.
I like it. I like that a lot. Yep.
All right, let's flip over. I've got two Big 12 games for you to talk about here.
Let's go. This is your country here. Let's go.
These are both interesting. ULL, the Raging Cajuns, University of Louisiana, getting Texas in Steve Sarkisian's debut with the Longhorns. A quick note on ULL here out of the gate for people that may not have been following them. They opened the season last year against what ended up being an excellent Iowa State team that went out and won the Fiesta Bowl. ULL goes into Ames and beats the Cyclones to open the season. This is a legit team, 20 starters return. Billy Napier, always one of the names you hear for bigger jobs in the offseason. He stays at Louisiana. They did lose two of their top running backs. They have quarterback Levi Lewis back at quarterback. He is a stud. So Louisiana is the real deal, and they get a Texas program that, where are they? New head coach, I mentioned. That means a new staff, new OC, new quarterback. Hudson Card, very, very highly touted, but getting his first start. Bijan Robinson is a stud running back, will be one of the best in the country. But where is Texas? Are they ready to go game one against a raging Cajun team that is going to come out and be ready to go right from minute one? Do you lay the eight, take the eight here with ULL?
Oh, this is easy. You take the eight. This is easy. I give me, again, what I know, and that kid playing quarterback for ULL, I saw that game last year. I was watching that game, and I was so impressed. I mean, that was a tough atmosphere. You want to talk about a hard place to play? Iowa State's a hard place to play, and they went in there and won that game. That game wasn't given to them. They won that game. So I'm getting over a touchdown against a team with, like you said, a completely new staff. And, you know, Sarkisian, he's going to light it up. I mean, you know he's bringing, you know, a good offensive game plan to score points. But all we got to do is stay within that number. So we can trade scores for a little bit, go back and forth. That's fine. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. They could do it again. Can they go on the road and win the opening game in a Big 12 stadium like Texas? Why not? I would definitely – I'm taking the points, but I'm thinking this might be worth a sprinkle on a money line even.
Oh,
yeah.
Out of the gate. I'm with you. I think this is you. That's good advice earlier. Go with what you know. Texas may run away with this. They may win by 17 in this one, but I'm of the mindset right now. You got to show me that, Texas. Yep. You got to show me that, and then I'll adjust for week two and moving forward with a whole new staff against a veteran team that has done it before and is not going to walk into Austin and be shell-shocked here. Now, they might get beat, but they're not going to walk in and be worried about playing in this game. So give me those points, and you show me that you can score double digits or cover by double digits if you're Texas there.
Absolutely.
Yep. All right, stay in the Big 12. Another one, I think this is a fascinating matchup. This is really important regionally. It's very big for both teams in terms of where they are in their program. Let's talk West Virginia headed to Maryland. This was a rivalry that played for a long time, number of years, 50-plus years, took a couple-year hiatus. It is back on. That means a lot in the region where this game is happening. You've got two coaches in their third year trying to get the program moving forward. Maryland, Mike Locksley has recruited extremely well. Two top 20 classes, one in the top 40. So they've got talent on this team. The question is it ready to come together? Really talented wide receiver room, a quarterback that they call Baby Tua. It's Tua's brother, Tagovailoa. We're getting all the names in this show. Julia Tagovailoa is in this game. Now, he's an interesting study. There were moments last year, he played in four games. There were moments where you looked at him and went, we got a little Heisman talk maybe down the road for him. But he had a couple other games where you went, oh, that's not good. He was a turnover machine in a couple of those as well. Again, talented receivers, talented quarterback, trying to fill some holes in some other areas. This Maryland defense could not stop the run last year, Dave. One of the worst nationally, 118th in the country in yards before contact. So you were getting started running the ball before they got a helmet on you. That's not good against West Virginia that returns a 1,000-yard back in Letty Brown and an improved offensive line. This, to me, is a good one. Good test here for both teams. West Virginia, 2.5, 3, depending on where you're looking. Early thoughts on Maryland, West Virginia.
Early thoughts after listening to that little lead-in is that West Virginia is going to be able to run the ball. This sounds like they are going to be able to kind of control the clock. Now, will they be able to stop Maryland? I don't know if they'll need to. I think as long as they don't get behind and have to get out of their game plan, this sounds like a West Virginia play to me. What's the total on this thing?
Was 57. That's the under's worth a look, Dave. Ooh, the under is worth a look here.
Yeah, just the way you described that, I think more than the side, I'm thinking this could be, well, I don't know. I'm thinking maybe over. Like, West Virginia scores enough, what Maryland has to keep coming back, or what if Maryland gets the lead? Now, West Virginia, you know, 57 is a good number. Again, first thought is over, but this total might be an in-gamer where you have to see if Tagovailoa, what's his first name?
Tulia.
All right. If Tulia turns the ball over, there's going to be too many points scored in a game. It's that simple, you know, and he did have a couple games last year where you were like, oh boy. Yeah. He's definitely not Tua, but I think West Virginia's the side.
I do too. Let me give you a couple under things. If you want to keep talking about the over under, WVU is under in four of its last five games. They were a big under team last year because of style of play. They had that great defense and they just wanted to make sure the offense didn't make a lot of mistakes. Very conservative offensively, ran it, safe throws, played with your defense. I think you see that offense get let out a little bit this year, assuming you have a wide receiver core that doesn't lead the league in drops as it did last year.
Yeah, that was a problem.
Couldn't catch the ball and they couldn't get deep. So it was a very conservative approach. WVU's lost some guys on defense, but still brings some stars back. I think that defense might not be one of the top two or three in the country as it was last year in terms of scoring defense, but I still think it's pretty good here, and I think the offense takes a step forward. Now, Maryland is under in six of its last seven games.
Ooh,
so you've got two teams that trend in an under direction. But again, these are last year going back into the year before as well. I think this from a West Virginia standpoint, I think this is maybe a little bit of an underrated WVU team. I think they take a step forward. Quarterback Jared Dagey is in about his ninth year starting. He started last year, started four games the year before in a redshirt year. He started for 2 years at Bowling Green. The kid has played a ton of football. He does not turn it over. If they find a deep threat here, I think Maryland could have some problems. I'm actually already on West Virginia -2.5 on the road in this one.
How many years of eligibility do you get? Like you were in an athletic office. Like how can he still be playing? Like that's a lot of years of playing.
This is classic. We talk about Jared Dagey a lot. So we have the two at Bowling Green. Then he's played 14 games at West Virginia. And think about this. He's played 14 games as a starter at West Virginia and has used zero eligibility. He played the four games the first year, which allows him to still redshirt. So that's a redshirt year. Last year's a free year. Everybody gets that year of eligibility back.
Because of COVID.
So he's played 14 and still has multiple years remaining. I mean, he might be 36 when he's done quarterbacking the team here.
It's unbelievable. Give me an experienced guy like that. We're going to have to keep an eye on this. As long as we keep this kid upright, there's probably nothing he hasn't seen. He's ready to keep playing in the next. Oh, man, that's incredible. All right, I like him even more now.
Give me a veteran team on the road with an established coach in his third year that's taking a team on the road going against a Maryland program that has the same head coach but three new coordinators if you count special teams. So I like West Virginia in this one, Dave.
Okay, I'm with you. Right. I'm not going against you there.
All right, let's wrap it up here. I got one more for you. Two big brands in action here coming up on Sunday. Notre Dame on the road against Florida State. Notre Dame lost a lot, didn't they? They had nine guys drafted. Quarterback Ian Book is gone. 7.5, Dave. They're laying 7.5 to go on the road against Florida State. Listen, we know Florida State's not what it was. It is rebuilding and trying to get back. Is Mackenzie Milton going to be the quarterback, the former UCF quarterback that is returning a la Alex Smith style, which is a wonderful story if he's your guy. What are we doing, Notre Dame? Am I laying another 7.5? Am I taking another big road favorite here? What are we doing?
So this is really interesting because it's the only game Sunday, right? Like this is going to be a monster handle game. And Notre Dame is a big brand. And there's a lot of people that really like Notre Dame and just bet them every week because they are Notre Dame and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I got caught a couple times going against them last year and they went and proved me wrong. It just feels like a little too much to me. It just does. There's so many things.
All right, real quick, let me interrupt you. From your book days, are we paying a Notre Dame tax here?
Yeah, for sure. Opening week? Absolutely. Yeah, this number should be less than a touchdown. There's no question. Okay. But you don't need it to make it less because they're going to lay it anyway. Now you just have to find that number where the bad guys will come in on the dog to balance out all that action that you're going to have. Now, a lot of stuff is going to roll over from Saturday into Sunday in the game for the books, like, you know, the, any parlays and stuff. A lot of people will put this as the last leg of their parlay. And if they're live going into this, now books don't move numbers based on parlay exposure unless it's gigantic. I've been in the books where, you know, like we go into Monday night and 11 favorites covered Sunday, and you're just like, oh man, we're just going to get carried out on this game. Let's go get some, you know, dog money while we can, because if the favorite wins and covers, you know, it's, you know, bad meeting Tuesday. We used to call those, where like, oh boy, how do you explain this? Well, a bunch of people hit parlays. Well, why? Because all the favorites covered. If that happens this game, you might see eight and a half. It might go eight and a half just for the teasers. You know, sometimes you have to move a number to get over a teaser number because they're constantly being used in the teaser number. I think we settled at 7.5, which is a good number, because I think the people that are thinking about Florida State will take it, but I think they're going to wait because they know they're probably going to get eight or better. And there's no key numbers in college. I've always said that. It's not like the pros were 3 and 7 are so important. But, man, like, you know, Bobby Bowden passed away. There's going to be a whole thing. Like, we got fans back in that building. They're going to be doing the chant and all that other stuff. I'm leaning Florida State. But, again, I have those personal feelings for Notre Dame. I really do not like that team. I just don't know what it is, whether it's the uniforms, the helmets, the song, all of it. I can't decide one particular thing. But I'll tell you, B-How, right now, it's Florida State for me.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, I get it. That's a lot of points, but Florida State, that Notre Dame defense is going to be really good. They're going to be very good up front.
They're almost all back too, right? Notre Dame's defense is almost all back.
Yeah. Can Florida State show me they can move the football? They led the country in the highest percentage of screen passes last year. So they're playing side to side horizontally, not getting it up. At least last year, that's a lot of points. Could this be, you said it, and I know you're going to go bananas with me, and as the book guy, you're going to say, come on in. But this has to be one you look at maybe on a potential teaser. We won't recommend that a lot, but maybe get that number down a little bit. Or could this be one of those in games where you try and get a better number on Notre Dame after you're watching it and see how it's reacting?
Oh, 100%. If you're thinking Notre Dame and you're hesitating about the 7.5, just hope Florida State scores first. You know, this will go down to 3.5 immediately. And if Florida State gets two scores up, and it doesn't have to be two touchdowns, even if they get a touchdown and a field goal at any point and they have that little bit of a lead, you want to come in on Notre Dame, you'll get them at two scores down, you'll get them plus points. You know, it'll probably go to +3.5 or at least +2.5. A lot of times they get hesitant about putting up the three. But, oh, for sure. And again, I think that will be – see, it's Sunday night in Florida State. I was going to say, if this was a day game, we got to worry about the heat and everything down there. I don't think that'll be as big of a concern. Obviously we got to check the weather for precipitation. Those early games in Florida in September have seen some monsoon like weather, you know, where the water's rolling down the stairs in the stadium and they're sloshing around on the field. I think a slow field will actually help Florida State in this situation, because Notre Dame's, I mean, they're going to put up points this season. I get it, but just the first game of the season, I hesitate on that part of the game.
All right, there it is. I got it, marched us down the field, tried to keep us in the 40-minute range. I think we're right around it. Wasn't bad clock management, I don't think, for our first start here. I don't think it was bad.
I think it was good. And, you know, that's what we're going to do. So, you know, we're going to get this out. We're going to do this every week. We're going to do it's called 8 in the Box, again, presented by Cash Considerations. We talk football, college football in this episode specifically, and that's what B-How and I are going to do. For Brad Howe, you can find him on Twitter at BradHowe07, and myself, Dave Sharapan, at SportsBKConsig. Thank you for joining us. Good luck this weekend. Football is back. We'll talk to you guys next week.